Islam's holiest sites, Mecca and Medina, and its organization of the pilgrimage. It hopes to continue expanding attendance to help to build its tourism industry. Hujjaj participated in a symbolic stoning of the devil, part of the Hajj rituals in Jamarat, before returning to Mecca, where the Grand Mosque filled with worshippers preparing to depart. Saudi Hujjaj Jason Ali Hakwai says he was grateful to the authorities for a well-run week of rituals while he is preparing to conduct final prayers in Mecca. And Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan is set to visit Pakistan-administered Kashmir as he reiterated his support to the Kashmiri people living in the Indian-administered part of the divided region. Khan's visit to Muzaffarat, the capital of Pakistan-administered Kashmir, to mark the country's Independence Day, comes more than a week after New Delhi's decision to downgrade Kashmir's status. Khan is expected to make a speech in the Legislative Assembly to denounce Indian human rights violations in Kashmir. Pakistan is observing its 72nd Independence Day in solidarity with the people of Kashmir this year. And back home now, Health Minister Zweli Mkhize has called for calm following concerns raised by the private healthcare sector about the national health insurance model. The minister last week submitted the NHI bill. The bill was meant to help equalize healthcare and guarantee access to the best kind of care to everyone in the country, whether they were well off or poor. Numerous bodies, including the South African Private Practitioners Forum and political parties, says it is unethical, unrealistic rather, too expensive and would potentially damage the healthcare sector. However, Mkhize was confident that the model would be successful and not steer the sector in a financial crisis. After Parliament's Health Committee discussed the bill, it would be open for public consultation. And finally, there's new hope in the battle to halt a deadly Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Two experimental drugs are now showing remarkable results in combating the virus, with survival rates running as high as 90% in a large clinical trial. Anthony Fauci directs the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which co-sponsored the trials. Ebola has been sweeping through eastern Congo over the past year, leaving some 1,800 people dead as the outbreak spreads. The two drugs were developed using the antibodies of Ebola survivors and will now be offered to all infected patients in the DRC. Gold is at $1,501 and the rand is at 1517 to the US dollar, 1830 to the British pound, and 1696 to the euro. Australian dollar at 1028, 1 Saudi rial at 4.05, Turkish lira will cost you 2.72. Recapping your top stories this hour, millions of Hujjaj began heading back to Mecca for final prayers yesterday as the world's largest annual gathering of Muslim wound down without incident despite the logistical challenges and escalating regional tensions.
Now, Wal Jamaa.
Mecca's Sahaba.
Balastum min ummati. Whose fatwa is this? This is not AK's fatwa or AK-47's fatwa. This is the fatwa direct from Imam Zainul Abideen. Balastum min ummati. You don't belong to this ummah.
Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Do you need a kickstart for the week? Wake up to As-Safina to Ilal Jannah with Mulana Arafat Hatia on Markaz Sahaba Online Radio. Monday to Friday from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m.
On a lighter note, Sister Natasha, he already took 800,000 or 850,000. So now he can take you for a nice honeymoon in your twilight years, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean. Sister Natasha says that she gets up early. All teachers normally from school, day school started about 7, quarter past 7. And she does have the English Quran. Quran. It's a very small Quran. Maybe Ustad could refer to another big Quran with clear, much words, Ustad, inshallah.
Inshallah, if you want the bigger one, my students are there in Lakefield. So if you require anything, then you just tell us and he will go and deliver it to you. Next to the Lakefield Masjid, the Lakefield Mosque, the beautiful mosque next to the garage, you just ask anybody there, Maulana Zamir. So he is my student and he will give you whatever you require Islamically. He's running the tire shop there also. So if you got any punctures also, he will sort it out for you.
Safina to Ila Jannah. Your weekdays just keep getting better. Breaking news, Caterco premium brands now launched in store bakeries, butcheries, quick shops, coffee shops, franchises, restaurants. You name the brand and we'll supply it. Call 031-309-5649 and our sales team will come see you.
Honorable Mufti Saab, your knowledge is immense and you are of great service to the Ummah. Has Mufti Saab ever considered taking a second wife?
I'll have to make istikhara. I told you just now, I have to make so much dua, and still now I make dua. I'm so happy with my Fatima. Allah Ta'ala give her siha, afia, all that. Where your second wife, all that you think about when there's rows and ruction?
The bliss of marriage.
Can parents force their children to marry a specific person? I'm 25 years old. Brother Zakaria from Australia, Ustaz.
Wonderful question, Brother Zakaria from Australia. Barakallahu fikum. Look at the beauty of Islam. Once your children are mature, your son, your daughter, the 15, 18, 20, 25, does the father or the mother for that instance, that can they impose upon the child, that son or daughter, you must marry this one? No, you can't do that Islamically. And when that son and daughter say no, then there's no son upon
them. Every Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة.
Dad, these Frimax chips are so tasty.
Wow, that really takes me back. My dad bought me a Frimax chips every day after school. They were my favorite when I was your age as well. Quality is at the very heart of what we do, and that's why we ensure that every Frimax packet is filled with the beautiful goodness and flavor-packed taste that you've come to expect from us since 1982. Frimax, from generation to generation.
This program is brought to you by Speco Rice, bringing friends and family together over meals.
Precious one, my wife, my love, the Creator granted you to me. You are in my heart. For thee, I would sacrifice all I am. Patient you are in the labor of love, bringing light to a home once dark. And Allah is my witness that I am happy with you. A promise to Allah that I will be faithful. A promise to Allah that I will be sincere. A promise to Allah before all our loved ones. A promise to Allah before our families. For today is the day we wed. Be my friend. Be all that you want to be. Share with me your dreams and all you suffer and feel. When your tears flow like a spring from the depth of your heart, let my soul dry them away. Let my being protect you always. a promise to Allah that I will be faithful.
11 minutes after 11 Central African time. What a beautiful, mashallah. Wednesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of my beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and to all my beautiful, beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Yusuf Asmal, and Haji Faisal Asmal, who's in company, who's listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I hope everyone by now, I think by now, slowly and surely, we're getting our energy back. I know many people are still tired. Many people say, Molana, wow, Monday it was just chaotic. It was busy. It was fully packed. Bakri Eid, slaughtering, cutting, fighting here, fighting there. You know what I mean? Slaughtering the meat, putting the meat into the storage and blah, 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 etc. And then Tuesday you want to still do that. And then Wednesday you want to give out the meat, which is today the last day here in South Africa, the 14th of August 2019, which is also the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. 1440. I hope everyone is in a good mood this beautiful Wednesday morning. Because I told the listeners, when you come and listen to the bliss of marriage, come on, my beloved beautiful. You just heard that beautiful nasheed. A promise to Allah. Wahidullah. I will be faithful. I will be sincere. A promise to Allah. I will always be there for you. Before all our loved ones. Before all our families. You know, for today, for tomorrow. Kun fi sadiqati. Be my friend. Ustad of Ustads. Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim. Damat barakatuhum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah. Ustad, how are you? Are you still tired? Not tired, still full of energy. Yes.
No, alhamdulillah, I'm in there with Maulana Shukr. Okay. Got back my energy and strength.
Ameen.
Ready, inshallah. And my question to you is, did you have a piece of mutton?
You know, the listeners
until,
are telling
you. until you don't convince Maulana that you have at least taken a portion of mutton and eaten, Maulana, I'm going to be asking you this question every day.
I see, Ustad, you're after me. The listeners were saying this morning on As-Safina to Ilal Jani, he says, Maulana, did you make Maulana Salim happy? Did you make your Ustad happy? Did you have a small piece? I said, no, not yet. So the listener was telling me, you're not going to leave me until I have a piece of mutton. Ustad, but anyway, how's Durban? How's the weather, Ustad?
Beautiful weather, Maulana. MashaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Warm, clear, and a beautiful day, G.
I mean, inshallah. Ustad, yes, many listeners yesterday, alhamdulillah, asked for the podcast of the program, especially in Swaziland. I had one from Putu. I had few from Johannesburg, one from Cape Town as well. Alhamdulillah, one from Azadville as well. They wanted the podcast of yesterday's program. Of course, we still continuing part two on the right of divorce. And we were speaking, what rights does a woman have for talaq? We were asking you, Ustad, what does a man has, how, when does a man has the right to give a talaq? How should a man give a talaq? Should he be cool? Should he be in an angry way? Should he be in a good mood when he's releasing that bullet? And then yesterday, Ustad, we asked you as well that could Ustad explain for us what is talaqul raj'i and what is talaqul ba'in and what is talaqul mughalladha? So Ustad, before we continue, of course, with yesterday's program, and before you go into, inshallah, on talaqul ba'in, I don't know if Ustad recall yesterday the question came where the sister said she went to India, Ustad. I don't know if Ustad remembers, and, for 2 weeks, Ustad, do you remember that question?
Yes, and the husband sent the divorce.
Correct. Correct. So let me just enlighten the listeners again. Just put the listeners' minds. It says, of course, she went, blah, blah, blah. And she says, before the first week, I received an envelope with my husband's signature and his two witnesses stating, I'm sorry to end this marriage. I'm no longer can make a home with you. I give you 3 talaqs with an immediate effect. I have a daughter who's 1 year old, and the girl's father said that, is this the way you treat our daughters? You send her envelope. Couldn't you wait for my daughter to come back to South Africa? He still got a nerve to say, tell my little girl her daddy loves her and he says he will give her maintenance. So, Ustad, yes, Ustad, you did respond to that question. So this morning, of course, at about 9:15, I received the message as well, Ustad, from the father from India, who is listening to the program right now, Ustad. And the father's name is Javed, by Javed. And he says, Assalamu alaikum, respected Mulana Salim Karim. He contacted us yesterday and say no need to come South Africa. I sent everything of your daughter by aeroplane. He think he got lot money. This is Javed by speaking to you, Ustad. My daughter say she's got lot stuff there at home. So must I come to South Africa or not? Now, I mean, Ustad, look at this guy, Ustad. I don't know, Ustad. What do you do in a situation like this? Maybe because this guy's got money and you can't touch him. I don't know. Now the father is asking you, Javed Bhai is asking you. He contacted us yesterday and say no need to come South Africa. I sent everything of your daughter by aeroplane. Ustad.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة
سبحان الله
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا كلها متاع وخير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالحة صدق الله مولانا العظيم
الله أكبر.
My respected listeners, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Yes, Mona, it's painful for what the father and the wife is going through in India. For a husband to send his wife with the pretext that I'm sending you home for a holiday, and then all of a sudden a letter is produced that I've divorced you 3 times and I don't want you back. And the pain that is most painful is to say that I love my daughter. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from such people who don't have one bit of respect for a woman. Number two, does not have respect for Sharia. And number three, is totally inconsiderate towards masoom children. What answer is the mother going to give to that little child when the child is going to ask, where is my father? Where is Abba? Where is Abu? Where is Daddy? What answer is the mother going to give to that child? And for him now, this is being even more nasty, that I have sent everything via the aeroplane or by luggage or cargo or whatever it is. He's driving the nail more deeper in, Marana. But it is sad, he forgets that Allah ki latimi awaz
me. Hey, I was just going to say that to Ustad. Allahu Akbar.
He thinks that he's arrogant, and because maybe as the father-in-law is saying, that he's got money and he's got power and he's got influence, he can do as he pleases. But he forgets that Allah Ta'ala ki lati mein awaz nahi hoti hai. In the stick of Allah, there is no sound. So he will face the consequences of his actions and his deeds. He should be man enough to say to his wife, look, we are not getting on. We are not compatible.
Yes, yes.
We can't live together. I can't stay with you anymore. I don't love you. And let us separate, and still because of the child, we can remain connected. That would be the decent thing for him to do as a Muslim. But what example is he setting for the Muslim Ummah? One, imagine the other sisters who are listening out here at this moment on this program. Some of them must have went through the similar scenario.
Ustad.
We can't even imagine the pain and the suffering and the emotions that they are running with now at the moment. But nevertheless, we should make dua for that sister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her the strength, inshallah, to bear this loss. Maybe it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better for her.
Yashuk, ameen. Ameen.
As is well said, God, I saw this beautiful saying, that God often removes a person from your life for your protection.
Wow. Subhanallah.
Think about that before you go running after them. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
In other words, Allah Rabbul Alameen removes that person from your life for your own betterment, for your own akhirah. Otherwise, this relationship could have been absolutely toxic. You can see the attitude of this husband. He basically never loved this wife. In the first question, why did he get married to her if he was not happy?
Yes, correct, Ustad.
Why destroy an innocent girl's life? Well, I mean, this is the point. It is so sad. So, well said, the God or Rabbul Alameen often removes the person from your life for your own protection. Think about that before you go running after them. Don't chase behind them. It's not worth it. So our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah, make my day useful. Number two, Allah, make my night restful.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah, my home peaceful and my efforts fruitful. Beautiful dua. Okay, Allah, make my day useful. Allah, make my night restful. Now, think for a moment, Maulana, what is going through that young lady's mind when she's sleeping? That overnight her happiness was snatched away.
Hey, Ustaz, you're going to make me cry, Ustaz.
She must have had such great emotions and feelings to say that, inshallah, this is what I want to do with my marriage, with my children, and this is what I want to do for my future. And just by some inconsiderate, selfish individual, her whole life is shattered to pieces. And I was saying this to a sister the other day. You know, when a mirror falls on the ground and it is shattered, don't try to pick up the pieces because you get cut. Leave it like that. And focus now back to Allah Rabbul Alameen, to Allah. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. Okay, oh Allah, reward me in this test and trial that you have put me in. وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. And oh Allah, grant me a better replacement. So Allah, maybe Allah will grant her a better replacement.
So Ustad, Ustad, from your side, as an alim, as a marriage counselor, Ustad, if you asking me, Ustad, me being a father, if I was Javed Bhai, I'm just asking, Ustad, you guide me. Would you suggest that he should jump into the aeroplane no matter what and come here to South Africa? Because I mean, this is his daughter. This is his life. She's got so many stuff. I don't know, sir, because he's saying here that Javed Bhai says he does not want us to come to South Africa. I mean, who's he? I don't know, sir. I'm just asking. If I was Javed Bhai, I'm asking, sir, you guide us. What should Javed Bhai do? You know, because one side, the daughter is afraid. She's afraid. Maybe the father mustn't hurt the father. Because I think this guy's got money, Ustad. He's got a lot of money.
All right, Mulan. Okay, that's one side of it. Okay, Mulan, you must also be fair to him in a way that we need to listen to. Maybe he has some valid reasons. But that still, it does not justify his action, what he did. So it's only fair also that father, inshallah, bring that daughter. But obviously, she's in it that we don't want her to be takleef now. But I think the father and the brothers, inshallah, they should come back to South Africa.
Yes, correct.
Come back to that matrimonial home. Because they gave this daughter as an amanat to him. And he's throwing her as if she's a piece of dirt. Do you understand? So this person needs to be reprimanded. I'm not saying become physical with the person, but I think he should pay for his crime. And the right way to do it is for the girl's parents to come to South Africa, approach him, go to the ulama, alhamdulillah, go to the police station, whatever else is belonging to his daughter, inshallah, get hold of it. And try to resolve the thing and go. Because now, you know, the milk has spilled. We can't do anything. And I don't think she would love to reconcile with him. And nor would
he consider reconciling. Of course. Definitely, Ustad. Definitely,
okay, Ustad. So we have to pick up the pieces and move on. It's a very, very sad and heartbreaking case. May Allah Ta'ala protect our daughters. And Allah Ta'ala give the husbands of today some sort of akal, some sort of intelligence that they think before they act.
Allahu Akbar. 25 minutes after 11 Central African time, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. And I know, I see the questions are coming again in, inshallah. So just bear with me. I need to pose a few questions that we had yesterday about, of course, we've got three left of yesterday's question. But anyway, Ustad, let's move on to the second buy-in. You mentioned yesterday, Raj'i. Ustad, just a bit of revision quickly, inshallah, just to tell the listeners, our sisters out there who are tuning and listening, what is Raj'ar? Raja'a yarji'u ruju'. And quickly, inshallah, Ustad, we can move into buy-in. Ustad.
Inshallah, as we discussed yesterday, Mulana, there are three types of talaq. One is called talaq-e raji'i. One is called talaq-e buy-in. And one is called talaq-e mughallaza. Yesterday, we discussed in the first segment, what is talaq-e raji'i, where the husband says to his wife, I give you one talaq e raj'i, or I give you one talaq. That is in Shariat called talaq e raj'i, which means in English revocable. What is the law of that? That they will stay in the same house. Yes, you will be in that. But Shariat allows this period that she must somewhat try to win her husband back by either beautifying herself, changing the style of her clothing, maybe her cooking, her attitude, inshallah. Maybe there'll be a change of heart in the husband. That, okay, my wife has made some changes. Maybe this was like a shocker for her. You know, it's like a wake-up call for her, alhamdulillah. And then, as I said, in talaq-i raj'i, you can revoke the talaq either by saying to your wife, I take you back as my wife. Verbally, or I become intimate with my wife by action, then, alhamdulillah, they are both back as husband and wife, alhamdulillah, but that talaq is counted. The one advantage of talaq-i raj'i is, Mulana, that the wife should try somewhat to entice her husband to try and win his heart again.
While she's in iddah, Ustad, while she's in iddah.
Yes, there's a talaq-i raj'i, there is room for that. But only thing is that he should not come unannounced. You understand what I'm saying? If he needs to come into the house, at least inform the wife or ring the bell before you and I can walk into my house without even... But the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ta'aleem is that whether it's my house, whether it's my mother's house, my father's house, my brother's house, it does not give me the right to just walk into somebody's house. Always ask for ijazat. Ring the bell, knock twice, thrice, and after no response, walk away. Don't bang the doors, don't start throwing stones and making a nuisance of yourself. Sharia told you that knock at the door thrice, no response, leave. Maybe the person is in such a position or such a state that he doesn't want to see you. You need to respect that privacy. Some of us just don't have patience in us, Mulana.
So
imagine,
so,
yeah. So coming back to talaq-i raj'i, Mulana, quickly, is that the ulama have given, you know, some views that at least the wife should look presentable, more beautiful. She should change her attitude and approach.
Okay.
Most probably,
okay.
Allah will soften the heart of the husband, and he will reconcile with her.
So, Ustad, if
but say 3 months, three hazards goes, or 3 months goes, and he doesn't tell her anything. Then automatically the talaq-i raj'i will become talaq-i ba'in.
Correct.
Talaq-i ba'in means it is irrevocable, the nikah is terminated.
Correct, Ustad. Correct. 100%.
Now, talaq-i ba'in means irrevocable. When a person says to his wife, I'm giving you one talaq-i ba'in. I'm giving you one talaq that is irrevocable. The nikah is terminated there and there. Finished.
Correct. Correct, Ustad.
The wife has to sit in iddat. The husband will have to provide for her in this 3 months of her 3 menstrual cycles or her 3 months, insha'Allah al-Aziz. But the advantage of talaq-i ba'in is twofold. See, both of us come to our senses and, you know, we have got ourselves divorced, we messed up, and we have these masoom children, or alhamdulillah, we have a rethink about it. No, man, I can't stay without her. And she can't stay without you. Now you want to reconcile. In talaq-i raj'i, you could have said it verbally. Yes, I take you back. Or I could become intimate.
Correct, Ustad.
But in talaq-i ba'in, you have to make tajdeed nikah. You have to make a fresh new nikah with a new mahar. And this is what ulama-i kiram are always saying, that opt for talaq-i ba'in. Okay, what's the advantage, Mulana, of talaq-i ba'in? The nikah is terminated. If they want to reconcile, they will have to make a new nikah and a fresh nikah with a new mahar. But the advantage is that in her iddat period, if the husband says, you know what, I think we should reconcile.
Yes, Ustad.
This is the advantage. This is why we always tell the men folk that if you are giving a talaq after trying all avenues, exhausting all avenues, give one talaq-i ba'in.
Correct, Ustad.
So you leave the door open. If tomorrow there's a rethink about the situation, then I can say, go to the alim of the town and speak to the girl's family. I'll speak to my family that I think I need to reconcile. I need my wife back. I think I made a mistake. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm going to be a better person. But Shariah says, in the iddah period, you can make nikah with her. And say 3 months ago, and her iddat is over, now she wants to reconcile or he wants to reconcile, the same law will apply. they will have to make a new nikah with a new mahar.
So, Ustad, you can't take her back while she's sitting in Iddat. You can't.
No, you can. You can make nikah.
Okay.
Talaq-e bayin.
Okay, Ustad.
If I want her back, Molana.
Ji.
I can make nikah while she's in Iddat. After renew the nikah. That's one aspect of talaq-e bayin. The second aspect of talaq-e bayin is that I use ambiguous words. Like I tell to my wife, get out of my house. I don't want to see your face. Pack your bags. Go to your mother's house. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, what does Shariat say here? Because I'm playing with words now.
Yes.
I'm not using the direct word talaq. I'm saying, take your bags and get out. Or go to your mother's house. Or use vulgar words or whatever it is, like how when we get angry, we say the nastiest thing to our wives. So Shariat says when a husband makes such statements, we have to question the husband. When you made this remark, get out. Take your bags and leave. I don't want you. I don't want to see your face. All these words. Then we'd have to ask the husband, what was your intention and niyat when you made that remark? If he says, no, I was just angry and I said it, fine. You take his word for granted. But if he says, no, I meant talaq, then it will be talaq.
Allahu Akbar.
And sometimes, Mawlana, the husband makes the niyat of talaq, but he knows now that the ulama is going to question
him.
What is your niyat? So now he's going to bluff and he's going to make excuses. But in the law, he knows when I said to my wife, take your bags and get out. At that time, I had niyat in my mind, I've divorced you. That's why I made that remark. Now when the ulama question him, because he's clever, he knows the masala. No, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. And if he carries on after making a niyat that it's talaq, and now he's lying and cheating in the sense that, no, I didn't mean talaq, and he's living with his wife, he's living in kuna and zina. So we must be very careful, Mawlana, that in the law we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be man enough to say, yes, I made the niyat of talaq at that time, and I stand by my word.
So
then they twist the word, Mawlana, because the wife is saying something, the husband is saying something. So the muftis will have to look at what the husband is saying and what the wife is saying, and according to them, they'll give the fatwa.
So
but I, as the husband, should be man enough, if I could say those words to her, then I must stand by my conviction.
Ustad, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab will be on those people? Because I've got a question asking you right now. My husband gave me talaq, respected Mawlana Salim, but we're still staying together. Nobody knows about it.
I'll give you a perfect example.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of my colleagues and friends was married for like 30 years.
Sure.
And in the beginning stage of the marriage, there was some squabble and fight. And the husband wrote, I divorce you 3 times. Because in those days, I'm talking about 30 years, 35 years back, Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar.
People were not so conscientized about deen and masla masail. So the wife and husband said, no, it's okay. Just squash that paper and throw it away. Don't worry about it. But she was a wise lady. She just squashed it. But later on, she took it and she kept it. After some years, 30 years or 25 years, she asked me, Mawlana, I have a situation and I have big children. They're married. And this thing has been pricking my mind from the day my husband gave me this talaq, and he asked me to squash that paper and throw it in the paper, waste paper basket. Now I have the proof that 35 years ago he gave me this talaq. I've got children out of this wedlock. What is my nikah? What is the status of my nikah? What is the status of my children?
There are so many
that I know of who have given their wives 3 talaqs. And they say, don't worry about the muftis. Don't worry about the Mawlana staff. They don't pay your rent. They don't feed you. I'm feeding you. I'm looking after you. I'm going to stay with you like this. We'll ask Allah for forgiveness. You're playing with Shariat. You're talking about Shariat and you are now compromising. I'll give you one example how angry Rasulullah got. There was a lady from a very reputable family. She stole something.
Gee.
And the law of Sharia is anything worth 10 dirhams, if you steal, your hand will be cut from your wrist, irrespective of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the family said, you know what, the lady of our family made this mistake. Imagine now, it will be a stigma. Everyone will see her without a wrist, will immediately say, she was a rogue and her hand was cut.
Yes, correct, Ustad. Mm.
So they came to Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa and they knew him that he was Rasulullah's adopted son. And they said, please go and intercede on our behalf and ask Rasulullah to give her a lesser punishment instead of cutting her hand. You know, let us do some other punishment that will also teach her a lesson. You know, when the Sahabi said that to Rasulullah, Rasulullah went red with anger and rage.
Ya Allah.
And said, how dare you come here to me to intercede in Hududullah? Wallahi, if it was my daughter Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala anha, laqata'tu yadaha, I would have cut her hand too. So, sometime, Mawlana, lots of our listeners are listening out there. Please, if you think your husband gave you talaq, please check with the ulama.
Yes.
At least you can make tawbah, you can rectify it, correct the wrong. But don't live a life of zina. That's why sometimes we think, Mawlana, there's only fighting in this house. There is no barakat in this house. There is no happiness in this house. There is no respect of the children. There is no discipline. Obviously, there's be barakat because you have broken the law of Sharia. You're living a haram life. So yes, Mawlana, we need to be brave enough. Like as I said, the sister was brave enough. After 35 years, she showed me the document. And I said to her, your nikah is terminated. Then, 35 years ago. She said, what must I do now? I said, you have to make tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness. You tried your best in whichever way. Now that you are conscious of it, and now the masla has come forth, and you did the right thing. And alhamdulillah, she got her talaq, and well, she is now, Allah Ta'ala grant her shifa kamila and everything. But that's what happened. I'm just saying, Murana.
Ustaz, do you think from your side as an alim and as a marriage counselor as well, do you think when our sisters and brothers out there, when they get married, is it better for both the parties to know and to learn the meaning of what is buy-in, what is mughalladha, what is raj'i? Or maybe only from the man's side? Or you think the man and woman, they should know both together, Ustaz?
Murana, we are, as ulama, going to take this blame.
Why?
To some degree. You won't agree with me. I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Mana, you taught in the madrasa.
Ji.
I taught in the madrasa for the last 35 years of my life.
Subhanallah.
Ji, you taught for many, many years.
Indeed.
Did we do a comprehensive study as a syllabus teaching our students in madrasa what is nikah?
Correct.
What is talaq? What is iddat? What is jaiz? What is not jaiz? What is permissible in Islam, what is not impermissible, and especially marriage and divorce. Did we do a full course with our students? Mawlana, you'll be shocked to hear, yes, some madrasas, mashallah. And we just teach them a few things about nikah. And jihalat and ignorance of the law is no excuse in Sharia. You pay the price, Mawlana. So I'm insisting, and I always have this marriage workshop, Mawlana, every year in latest, I try my best to conduct a marriage workshop with the students. The grade 11, 12, you know, matric students, inshallah. From the time the girls are baligh, my wife does it on one side and I do it on the other side. Alhamdulillah. So much so to conscientize these. Tomorrow they're going to be adults, Mawlana. Tomorrow they're going to be out of the school. They're going to go to university. They're going to get married, Mawlana. What knowledge do they have of Sharia? Limited. And who's to be blamed? First, their parents, they have failed hopelessly as far as educating their children. I talk to my child about business. I talk about the latest movies, the latest news in the world. But I cannot talk to my child and say, beta, tomorrow you're going to be a husband. Gee, what Allah wants from you to be a husband? You need to be a role model for your wife. Mother sitting with her daughter, Betty, tomorrow you're going to get married. You're going to be somebody else's property. This is how you're going to behave. This is what you must do when you get angry. This is what you must do when your husband says A, B, C. Nothing of that, Mawlana. We talk about every other useless thing. But we don't talk about, mashallah, I was listening on the news just now as I was driving.
Juicer.
The Department of Education, I don't know, somebody tweeted or something to that we're going to now introduce sex education in the school. We're going to talk about this. You and I are going to talk about this on our topics.
Inshallah. Ameen.
What Sharia allows, what you're supposed to tell your child, and it depends on the age category, their thinking capacity, and who they're involved with and the environment. Sharia, alhamdulillah, as deenun fitra. Allah has made the deen of Islam a natural religion, and we should talk about it. The quicker we start, see, this is the price we pay, Molana. If I educated my son or my daughter about sexuality in Islam from the day they got baligh, what did Rasulullah say? At the age of 7, separate the bed from the boy and girl.
Correct. Haq, Ustad.
Why did Sharia say that to us? That two people should not sleep on one bed without a sheet. Because shaitan is there. There's hormonal changes taking place in girls' body, the boy's body. Shaitan is there. Look at the wisdom of Islam. That separate, when they become the age of 7, namaz, yes, teach them about namaz, but you can't allow the brother and sister to sleep on the same bed.
Ustad, the message says here, there are couples out there who cheat on each other. They cheat on each other, but they still together, respected Mulana Salim Karim. Isn't that shows that they still care for each other? This is from Swaziland, anonymous sister, Ustad.
مولانا
يا الله لا حول ولا قوة
اسے شیطان کو بد دعا دیتی ہیں اور خود بدی کرتی ہیں swearing شیطان and saying Allah's lanat be on شیطان but they have been the biggest culprits
لا حول ولا قوة الا بالله
مولانا this is another thing we need to talk about I know my husband is having an affair first of all we need to check why he's having an affair. Is there something that is short that I have in me that I'm not delivering to my husband that he has to go and seek pleasure elsewhere? This is very important, Molana. This is why I say you need to talk to your spouse. After Isha Namaz, spend 1 hour with your wife. Talk to her. Ask her how her day went. What is her feeling? Is there anything you can do better? Or I'm asking you for mark if I didn't fulfill your rights today. See? Can I buy you a gift? We're not talking. I'm on my phone and she's on my phone. And sometimes the husband and wife, their moms, Molana, they're talking on the phone. I'm sitting right next to my wife. She's got her phone on WhatsApp and I got my phone. Bate karre. Have you ever seen stupid people, Molana?
Astaghfirullah. No.
This is the height of stupidity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that husband that looks at his wife with love and muhabbat, Allah will create love and muhabbat in their lives. Put one morsel of food in your wife's mouth is an act of charity. But now I'm putting that mashallah ice cream. I'm sharing that ice cream with my secretary. Ji? I'm giving her beautiful comments. You're a star. You're stunning. You're my sunshine. Mulana, you heard this new terminology.
Ji, Ustad.
You're my sunshine. You heard this new one, Mulana?
No, Ustad. No.
No, I want to know what name you kept for your wife, Mulana. Pet name. Tell me.
I call her Rose, Ustad. My beautiful Rose.
Subhanallah.
Ustad, wait, hold on. You have to listen to this one here. Sister Azadville says, okay, she doesn't agree. And I know who's the sister regarding sex education that we should talk. She says she doesn't agree. But maybe, Ustad, you're going to advise her on that point. I also don't agree with that sister, what she's saying. But anyway, she's from Azadville. She says, sex education to our children, I totally disagree. Respected the two Molanas, which is myself and you. The other sister says, yeah, my husband is having an affair. Molana Salim Karim. I know about it. He's addicted to sex. What does she do, Ustad?
Well, no. One of the hikmat of having more than one wife, see, some men, Mawlana, Allah Ta'ala created them. There are women like that, Mawlana. Not only men. If you look at the physical body, and if you look at, you know, the genes in their body,
Ustad.
And there's so many other things. They are not only men who are having affairs, Ma. They are women that they cannot be satisfied with one husband. And they're having zina and they're having affairs.
Astaghfirullah la hawla wa la quwwata. Allahumma.
So the sister that said that she doesn't agree with Mulana, yes, we agree to disagree.
Indeed, correct.
But I want to ask the sister, Tomorrow, if your son and your daughter come and ask you a matter on sexuality, I would love to hear from the sister.
Well said.
How is she going to explain to her child?
Well said,
Ustaz. 5-year-old son or a 10-year-old daughter, she must explain. I would like to hear from her.
I'm not
talking about explicit sex. Talk to your children. I'm talking about the basics.
You hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head.
I'd love to ask the sister. Maybe Allah, I'm not getting angry, but I would love to ask the sister. Tomorrow your daughter becomes baligh and she comes and asks you about certain things. See? About hayz and about the development in a female's body. I would love to know what answer the sister is going to give to the daughter. Are you going to say that, no, mashallah, like how in the olden days they would bluff us? See, the baby came with a plane. They brought it in the basket and they brought it home. See? Today, try and say that to a 3-year-old child. The mother is fully pregnant. The child says, what is this in your stomach, mommy?
Astaghfirullah la hawla.
Yeah, it's true. So what you're going to tell that 4-year-old child and 5-year-old child, the crane brought the baby from the hospital? let's be real now, Marana. Come, let's be real.
And Ustaz, I think you're quite right. Wallahi, I think you're quite right. And to all the listeners out there who are tuning and listening on the Bliss of Marriage and Sirius FM, yes, I think we should. It's not that we should we think about it. No, we should. As Maulana Salim Karim is saying, my beloved Ustaz, we should teach our daughters and our sons.
Let me forget the children. A lady comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she asks the question in front of the Sahaba and to Rasulullah. You know, what was the question, Mulana?
G.
Do women have wet dreams?
Correct. 100% Ustad.
Now, let our scenario come here, Mulana. What we would do with that person, we may kick him out of the masjid. Or that sister, we would have, you know, finished her and took her out and said, get out of here. Here is a woman comes to Rasulullah. Ask the question. You know, there was a question that after haze, there should be perfume applied to the body. You know, because of all the blood loss and gain back everything. Gee, they should use mushk. Gee, and it would generate the heat and bring back the normal flow. So Rasulullah is trying to explain this to the lady. And the lady is not understanding. Eventually Rasulullah said to Hazrat Aisha, please take this lady in and explain what I'm trying to say.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, Mulana. Let's be real. Don't let your child get wrong information from wrong people and then you're going to sit with a major problem. I may be the best teacher of my child. As a son, I will teach my son, Abba, you're getting baligh now. This is what's going to happen to you. If this happens, you should do this. This you shouldn't do. As a daughter, a mother should speak. You now become a big girl. You are going to be menstruating soon. This is what's going to happen to you. This is how you must keep yourself parked. This is how you must keep your personal hygiene.
100%.
You can't read namaz in this period of time. We have to talk to our children.
Ustad, there's a sister as well from Umslanga. She says here, Maulana Salim Karim, well said, I think we should have at least half an hour masla of haid, and Maulana Salim Karim should explain. This is a Zahida from Umslanga. Ustad, the other question says here, of course we will come to that question. This one came yesterday, so I need to read this out. My wife left me for another man, respected Maulana Salim Karim, because she felt I was never there for her. I'm always out of the country. Maulana Salim, I've never cheated on her. I was always honest and loyal, and I was always sincere to her. Respected Maulana Salim Karim, she's never short of anything. Why is this happening, Maulana Salim? Why does happen, Maulana Salim? We have two little boys, and she still says the guy she wants to get married will look after my two little boys. Well, yadu billah. Is this fair, Maulana Salim Karim? Please, I'm going through a nerve breakdown. Yesterday I felt like taking my own life, but something stopped me. Is it always green on the other side? The brother needs help, Ustad. The brother needs help.
Maulana, I think that the ulama or the sisters of the area from where the question came, they may be alimas, they may be psychiatrists and psychologists. Inshallah, they need to talk to that sister one.
The sister is wrong. The sister is wrong, Ustad.
Yes. Definitely she is wrong what she's doing, Maulana. I'm going to come to the reason why. This is the price we pay, Mulana, when we don't give quality time to our wives.
Ya Allah.
We don't give them the attention. As I always say, Molana, give your wife three A's. I think you heard me say this before.
Correct. I heard you, Ustad.
We all want A's in our school reports and in university. But inshallah, in our marriages, if we give three A's to our wife, alhamdulillah, your marriage will be a success. You won't have cases like this. Okay. Number one, the first A must be attention. Give your wife your 100% attention. Pass comments to her that you're looking stunning, you are beautiful, you are Allah Ta'ala's best gift to me. You are so beautiful, you're awesome. Use the best words, Mulana. Rasulullah would say to Hazrat Umaira, Ya Hazrat Aisha,
Gee,
Ya Umaira. What the meaning of Umaira? The one with beautiful rosy cheeks.
Yes, Ustaz.
SubhanAllah. Rasulullah is calling Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Habibi, oh my beloved.
Allahu Akbar.
Ya Humaira. Mulana, you women have emotions in them. Let's understand this. Men are different. A little word of praise, Mulana, they will climb the highest mountain for you. So give your wife attention, the first A. Okay, maybe in this relationship, as the question says, that my husband, I'm always on journey. Yes, Munana, women long for companionship, security. Just somebody to hug them, somebody to say some good words to them, somebody to reassure them. Munana, we can't be just leaving our wives for long periods of time. Take them with you sometime, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
If there's another ticket to pay, alhamdulillah, work a little bit harder, take your wife with. She'll also save you from a lot of gunas. She'll be of help and assistance to you. Okay, it's a one-day, two-day, what you call trip, you can understand.
Mm.
There's no need for that. But you're going for 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, Monana.
Mm-hmm.
Women, when they love their husband, Monana, for 1 minute they can't bear their husband out of sight. So give your wife the first A, attention. Number two, affection. Do we really give affection to our wife? I'm going to ask myself, I left home today, did I kiss my wife? And said, may Allah Ta'ala protect you and Allah Ta'ala give you salamati and Allah Ta'ala give you barakat for the day. I didn't do it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and Rasulullah used to come home, he used to hug us and kiss us. He used to go for namaz, he would kiss us. Subhanallah. So where's the affection? And the third A is appreciation. Do we tell our wife, Jazakallah, for the beautiful cup of tea you made? Jazakallah for being such a beautiful mother. And look at my children, mashallah, they're all reading Quran, they're so well kept, they're well mannered. SubhanAllah, did you tell your wife, Shukran? Did you appreciate the meal she has prepared for you, the khidmat she makes for you? Everything is to the tea. Did you and I, one day as husbands and men, did we tell our wives, Jazakallah, so much? So, wherever they, I'm not saying, Mona, if somebody goes, your wife goes outside, or my wife, and mashallah, somebody says, all my life, see, I never said one word. Yes, I'm going to give you this walk. Yeah, I don't know how much time we have, Mona.
Chiju, we've got about 6 minutes. But Ustad, what is wrong, Ustad. I mean, it does not give our beloved sisters in Islam. I don't know, you are right. One side, you're right, Ustad. There's no attention, no affection, no, as you said, attention, affection and appreciation. Does that still give her the right, Ustad?
Well, she's totally wrong. She's out of line completely.
Mm. But the husband is to be blamed.
Al-hayau.
Sure, but...
Al-hayau hasanun. Modesty is excellent. Walil mar'ati ahsan. Modesty for a woman is even greater. Sharam and haya, idha fatakal hayau fa'al mashi'at. As Rasulullah said, if you lose your modesty and your respect and your self-respect, then you're worse than an animal. Do what you want. Can you imagine such strong words from Rasulullah? Allah has kept modesty a natural gift in a woman. She would just not talk to any man.
Yes, correct.
Well, it's a natural thing Allah has kept in women. The moment she sees a man, she will drop her gaze. Or she'll cover her face and put the parda, or she'll cover her half a mouth, alhamdulillah, whatever. Because Allah has kept this natural in women. And now for her to be so brave to go and do this and disappoint her husband, the person who has made a big difference in her life. But again, as I said to you, Murana, it takes two hands to clap. But But in no way am I saying that what she did is right. Let's get this clear. For that, she must be reprimanded. Alhamdulillah, yes. She should be done. But I, as a husband, if this is what my wife is doing, I'm going to call her and sit her down. Please tell me, where am I falling short? I'm prepared to make adjustments. I'm prepared to give and take. Why can't we communicate, Molana?
Allahu Akbar.
And she's my wife. She's my life partner. She's my soulmate. Why can't I talk to her? But I'll go and badmouth my wife or my husband by somebody else. Allah Ta'ala make it easy.
I mean. Ustad, I'm out of words. 4 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, quickly, to Sister Zahida from Umshlanga. I don't know how we're going to do. She said at least 30 minutes explain the masla of Haidh to the listeners. I think next week by this time our beloved Fadilatul Senior Ustad will be back with us. So I don't know, maybe we should do it on the discussion. I don't know, Ustad, but of course I'm going to leave it to you. This is
inshallah. No, let Hazrat Mufti Sahib, inshallah, from a Shariat point of view, there's masla masail.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can also, you know, in our
program
on Thursday night,
inshallah,
we could, inshallah, speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did Allah Ta'ala grant this to women? Why do they menstruate?
Indeed.
What's the reason behind it? What's the hikmah behind it? What's the reward and sawab Allah gives to them for their patience and sabr? Why is namaz maaf, and roza they still have to keep?
Mm-hmm.
There's great wisdom. There's great, everything in Sharia has got great wisdom and hikmah. So yes, now let Hazrat Mufti Sahib come back, inshallah. I think Mufti Sahib should be back next week. And the Maslam aside, will continue the bliss of marriage. But maybe in our Thursday night slot, maybe we could, inshallah, talk about this.
Definitely. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, Fadilatul Ustad. The listener wants to know from you as well, a specific you, Ustad. Respected Maulana Salim, please, I need help, urgent help. My marriage is about to fall apart. Myself and my beloved husband, we both going to a marriage counselor. And it says, and every lesson cost is 1,000 rand. An hour. I'm just reading the message you started as we're going along. We've been for 7 lessons already. But it seems till now he hasn't changed. He's doing this, I think, on purpose. Even the counselor says there's supposed to be some sort of change. But no. So I don't know, maybe he wants out of this marriage, Maulana Salim Karim. And he said to me, maybe Allah wants this marriage to be over. I have 3 girls, Ya Allah. I'm going through a nerve breakdown. I know he's got someone else. Sister Amira, Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, how do you handle the situation now, Ustad? They're going to the marriage counselor. They're paying 1,000 rand an hour. They did 7 lessons already. Gee, Ustad.
I think, you know what, you better resign from your job and me too.
No, don't
and let's do counseling and maybe we'll make it 500 rand.
Allahu Akbar.
It's so sad, Maulana, that today, as I said, as ulama, as parents, we are feeding our children. And for this husband to spend that amount of money, Maulana, he just has to change his niyat, his mindset.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, Ustad.
Simple. Maulana, he doesn't have to pay 7,000 rand. He's already paid 7,000 rand. Change your niyat and your mindset. And Allah has given them 3 daughters. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah has given 3 daughters, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be so close to me like my 2 fingers. What a great sa'adah to have 3 daughters. And yeah, he wants to break this marriage. He's got some other ulterior motives.
Yes, correct, you said.
He's just going with the flow. Yes, okay, let's go to the counselor. In the meantime, he's doing his masti, whatever it is. Allah forgive us. We don't want to judge people, but Maulana, I mean, here is a woman that is crying in front of Allah. Allah, I want my marriage to be intact. Allah, my daughters need a father. And this man has got no, you know, Allah. One Sahabi said, you know, when before I accepted Islam, I buried, I don't know how many daughters of mine. And he's describing to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ki ya Rasulullah, these daughters were so beautiful. They were so close to me. But because it was an Arab jahiliyat tradition, that a daughter is a disgrace amongst the Arabs, that we should take them, dig a deep hole, and throw them in and cover them with the sand. So this Sahabi was saying that I asked my wife to dress this daughter of mine up. She's such a beautiful doll. And alhamdulillah, like how little father is holding the hand of that masoom child, and the father is taking, in the meantime, he already dug a trench and a hole. And then jokefully, he says to the little girl, Betty, come, I put you inside the hole. And she, like an innocent child, she goes in and she's saying, Abu, come here. And then he slowly starts throwing the sand. He's describing how he actually buried his daughter alive. And Rasulullah was sobbing. Rasulullah is crying. Rasulullah is in tears and asking the Sahabi, how dare you do this thing to Allah's creation, to your daughter? Rasulullah was in tears. But anyway, Allah Ta'ala forgave them because obviously it was Zamana Jahiliyyah. And he got three beautiful daughters. They've already earned this day, Jannat, in this dunya. And this husband, I don't know what's wrong with him. Allah Ta'ala give him hidayat. But for the sister, don't lose hope in Allah Rabbul Alameen. Come on to the Musalla, inshaAllah, beg. And inshaAllah, try and sit down with your husband, reason with him. Maybe there's something that you're not doing right, or something that he's demanding that you're not giving. Let's work collectively.
You know, they say, Ustad, how we husband says, you know, it's either my way or the highway. Some of us, we ugly, Ustad. I'm sorry to say it. We've got about a minute left. Some of us, we ugly. The listener says that, can we arrange a marital bliss program in Durban for Malana Salim Karim and for Malana Arafat for all our young mothers, young sisters, daughters, widows, and divorcees? Please respect it, Maulana Salim Karim. Ustad.
Inshallah, Maulana, I think you can coordinate that, inshallah, one of the weekends.
Correct, inshallah.
Allah Ta'ala make it easy, inshallah. We can get the sisters in Durban or the brothers who want to coordinate it, inshallah. We will have maybe at one of the halls with part of our facilities.
Definitely, definitely.
Respect Sharia. And inshallah, I think it will be a nice get-together in the sense that we can raise this issue, that the Mufti Sahib will be with us also, inshallah.
Inshallah, Ameen. Ameen.
And
Ameen.
Get another panel of alims too, inshallah. And we'll get some of the sisters, maybe,
yes,
who are alimas also. Maybe there are certain maslahs to women, Mulana. We will ask the alimas and muallimas, inshallah, to handle that section and that session.
Subhanallah. We're going to have
modesty, and we have to have respect. So, inshallah, because there are some very personal questions when it comes to marriage and sexuality, then I think the right thing that the ladies, Alima, should address the ladies, inshallah, and we can take it with the men.
Ustad, we have to leave you there. Of course, it's 2 minutes after 12, and Brother Alfa Zinkosi say he would love to join you for this program as well, for the bliss of marriage.
Well, let me end it here, Moana.
Gee, Ustad.
He thinks or she thinks that she's hot.
Uh-huh.
Well, so is hell.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. What is this? He thinks or she thinks they're hot, but so is hell. It's true. It's true, Brother Alfus. I love you. Leave you, my beloved, beautiful listeners. See you guys tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, my beloved colleague, Brother Alfus Nkosi, with the 12 o'clock news.
Independent, and true to you. This is Markaz Sahaba News.
Muslim Hujjaj pray in Mecca as Hajj winds down without incident and new Ebola drugs show up to 90% chance of survival. I'm Alfas Nkosi. Good day. Millions of Hujjaj began heading back to Mecca for final prayers yesterday as the world's largest annual gathering of Muslim winds down without incident despite the logistical challenges and escalating regional tensions. Senior officials say there had been no major incidents and the logistical security and health plans had been successful even with some heavy rainfall. Saudi Arabia stakes its reputation on its guardianship of Islam's holiest sites, Mecca and Medina, and its organization of the pilgrimage. It hopes to continue expanding attendance to help to build its tourism industry. Pilgrims participated in a symbolic stoning of the devil, part of the Hajj rituals in Jamarat, before returning to Mecca, where the Grand Mosque filled with worshippers preparing to depart. Saudi pilgrims Jason Ali Hagwai says he was grateful to the authorities for a well-run week of rituals while he is preparing to conduct final prayers in Mecca. And Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan is set to visit Pakistan-administered Kashmir as he reiterated his support to the Kashmiri people living in the Indian-administered part of the divided region. Khan's visit to Muzaffarat, the capital of Pakistan-administered Kashmir, to Mark, the country's independent day comes more than a week after New Delhi's decision to downgrade Kashmir status. Khan is expected to make a speech in the Legislative Assembly to denounce Indian human rights violations in Kashmir. Pakistan is observing its 72nd Independence Day in solidarity with the people of Kashmir this year. Back home now, Health Minister Zulim Khize has called for calm following concerns raised by the private healthcare sector about the national health insurance model. The minister last week submitted the NHI bill. The bill was meant to help equalize healthcare and guarantee access to best kind of care to everyone in the country, whether they were well off or poor. Numerous bodies, including the South African Private Practitioners Forum and political parties, says it is unrealistic, too expensive, and would potentially damage the healthcare sector. However, Mkhize is confident that the model would be successful and not steer the sector in a financial crisis. After Parliament's Health Committee discussed the bill, it would be open for public consultation. And finally, there's new hope in the battle to halt a deadly Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Two experimental drugs are now showing remarkable results in combating the virus, with survival rates running as high as 90% in a large clinical trial. Anthony Fauci directs the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which co-sponsored the trials. Ebola has been sweeping through eastern Congo over the past year, leaving some 1,800 people dead as the outbreak spreads. The two drugs were developed using the antibodies of Ebola survivors and will now be offered to all infected patients in the DRC. Gold is at 1,500 and the rand is at 1517 to the US dollar, 1830 to the British pound and 1696 to the euro, Australian dollar at 1028, 1 Saudi riyal at 4.05, Turkish lira at 2.72. Recapping your top stories this hour, millions of Hajj pilgrims began heading back to Mecca for final prayers yesterday as the world's largest annual gathering of Muslims winds down without incident despite the logistical challenges and escalating regional tensions.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Are you looking for doors? Doors for every purpose? Bring unlimited style to your property. Do you need it for a development? Or revamping your home? Looking for a fresh new door? See our new door selection for 2019-2020. Bring true character to your home or property with a chic MEC door. Add charm inside or outside. Buy an exterior door that will make your home safe and secure. Beauty from the inside out. A quality interior door is essential. Contact us. We have doors for all your requirements. Emek Doors, South Africa's leading door wholesaler. At Emek, we carry the largest range of doors in South Africa, in excess of 145 designs. We have steel doors, wooden doors, aluminium doors, MDF doors. The latest European designs are available at the click of a button. Or visit us at where a professional salesperson will assist you no matter how small or large your requirement is. Buy from people who believe in quality and professionalism. If you are not able to visit our showroom, go online and order from www.emekdoors.co.za. Choose your required door with a click of a button. We deliver to any town or city in South Africa.
Dad, these Frimax chips are so tasty.
Wow, that really takes me back. My dad bought me a Frimax chips every day after school. They were my favorite when I was your age as well. Quality is at the very heart of what we do, and that's why we ensure that every Frimax packet is filled with the beautiful goodness and flavor-packed taste that you've come to expect from us since 1982. Frimax, from generation to generation.
For the latest news and what's happening around the world, tune in to News Hour on Merkez Sahaba Online.
I only take questions from people who haven't been named the Mampara of the Month.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
It's either he is so stupid.
Join Alpha Sinkosi as he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the globe.
Yeah, it was very tough, you know, but I guess the main point of it is that now, inshallah, you know, we're like born again, you know.
We have fulfilled what God commands, and we are very glad.
From Saturday
Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m. only on Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
This program is brought to you by Speco Rice, bringing friends and family together over meals.
It's now 10 minutes after 12 p.m. Central African time, and welcome to the program. This is the News Hour with myself, Alpha Sinkosi, coming to you live from our Johannesburg studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. I am with you from now up until 1300 hours as we unpack serious issues that are of global concern and, of course, of the national concern. But first, to start with, we look into the issue of the NHI bill, the National Health Insurance Bill. Is this bill properly thought through? Now, let's welcome on the line, Dr. Chris Archer is from the South African Private Practitioners Forum. Doc, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're looking into this bill, Doc, the NHR, the National Health Insurance Bill. Are you of the view that this was properly thought through?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, you'd have thought that given the time that South Africa has been exposed to, the Green Paper came out nearly 10 years ago.
Yes.
But the bill is very short on detail, and we are very concerned at the potential unforeseen consequences or unintended consequences of the Act, because it does appear to us that, it came out of the ANC leadership conference in Polokwane in 2007. There was no research that was done prior to that. Now, since they have published the original Green Paper and the White Paper, the ANC has performed a socioeconomic impact assessment, which is a requirement by law. The problem with that assessment, if one reads it, they only looked at three different things. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm with you.
They looked at maintaining the status quo, full privatization, and the third thing was the NHI proposals. Now, nobody is suggesting for a moment that we maintain the status quo. Everybody who's given this problem any thought recognizes that we need to reform not only the public sector but the private sector as well. That's a given. There's no argument about that. We are also not suggesting that the solution is to privatize the healthcare industry.
Yep.
So our concern is with the particular model of universal healthcare that has been proposed by the bill. And we believe that given South Africa's current economic constraints,
yes.
that it is an inappropriate additional burden that is going to be placed on the taxpayer. And it could have very serious consequences for not just the private sector, but for the provision of healthcare across the board. And that is what concerns us, that there hasn't been adequate consultation or analysis. And whenever one has suggested that we are concerned, then we are simply labeled as opponents of the, and wanting to maintain the status quo. And that's absolutely not true. So we are concerned. We think that, the World Health Organization does state that each country has to choose its own form of NHI because circumstances differ from state to state.
Yes.
Now, we have a very unique and unusual situation in South Africa that relative to the total population, we have a very strong private sector, and we have a problem with service delivery in the public sector. Now, the private sector is, for most South Africans, out of reach because it's not cheap. So we have to change both the private sector to make it more affordable, and we have to fix the problems, which are problems of service delivery, not a lack of money in the public sector. Mm. That's our viewpoint. And that's what we are concerned that this bill does not address those issues. In fact, the aim of the bill is to create a single fund, and that single fund will see the destruction of the private health sector, which is the one sector that is working currently, albeit at a cost.
Absolutely.
One recognizes that it is a cost.
Indeed. I was about to come to the cost behind this national insurance health. It's an enormous issue here, whereby I think it's as you're stating it, I mean, the financial management thereof as well. It's a major concern, as well as the possible exodus of medical personnel as a result of its implementation.
Now, look, it is. I mean, it's been calculated that national health insurance, the single fund, will be about 20 times the size of the biggest private fund, which is the Discovery Health Fund. Mm. That fund takes an enormous amount of resources and deep intelligence and experience to manage efficiently. Now, unfortunately, the track record of state operated enterprises has not been good, so it doesn't give one confidence that they will be able to handle such a massive undertaking without serious glitches. And you know, it's the opportunity for predation of the fund by unscrupulous people. Unfortunately, again, the record of corruption within state operated enterprises is not a good example. And so these are things that we believe you cannot just wish away and you can't just ignore. And the same thing is with the costs. I mean, the cost of NHI has never been calculated accurately.
Indeed.
And whenever we put this to the government, they say it's not important. Well, it's extremely important, because if halfway through implementation we find we just don't have the money, and quite frankly, right at the moment, we don't have the money, then the thing is going to collapse.
Absolutely.
And certainly all those private practitioners who now won't have a home or a place in which to apply their services will be forced to consider alternatives such as emigration, which is the last thing that this country needs. And I think it's the last thing that those practitioners would like to be forced into considering.
Absolutely. Indeed. Doc, I know that you are very busy. Let's not consume much of your time, but we really appreciate your time coming through. Well, one have said that this NHI bill, it's one of, we're facing another ESCOM kind of a situation here. But let's see how it unfolds. Thank you so much for your time and all the best.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay.
There you have it. There you have it. It's Dr. Chris Archer. He's the CEO of the South African Private Practitioners Forum, saying the current national health insurance model would cause irreparable harm to the country's entire healthcare industry. So now, what does this mean? Here's how the NHI will affect you, including new rules about seeing a specialist. Remember, this bill was finally introduced last week, and despite many, many concerns, it looks as if government will be pushing ahead to start implementing the new healthcare regime. Now, in a nutshell, this is what will happen. Medical schemes, as we know, it will disappear, and your doctor will be paid by government. So instead of paying your monthly membership, you will pay a similar amount of extra tax on your income. But we're not the ones to actually speak more about this. I know that the Health Minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, has allayed fears and called for calm following opposition to this NHI bill. Now, joining me on the line is the Department of Health's Deputy Director General, is Dr. Nben Pillay. Doc, thank you so much. Good afternoon. Dr. Pillay? All right, let's see if we can get Dr. Pillay properly on the line. As the Health Minister, Zweli Mkhize, has called for calm following concerns raised by the private healthcare sector about the national health insurance model. So the minister last week submitted this bill, and now it was meant to help equalize healthcare and guarantee access to the best kind of care to everyone in the country, whether they were well off or poor. So now, numerous bodies, including the South African Private Practitioners Forum, of course, political parties, saying that this is unrealistic and too expensive. But yeah, let's
hello. Try.
Yes, Doc, thank you so much. Good afternoon. How are you?
I can hear you very faintly, but go on. I'll try and see if I can hear it more clearly.
Yes. Well, first to start with, thank you so much for taking out time to speak to us, Doc. The health minister has allayed fears with regards to the opposition to the NHI bill. So we thought it's much better to have you on the line just to come and help us dissect this and get an understanding. Why are these people opposing the NHI bill, and what does it have in store?
Well, why people are opposing the bill? Well, there's a variety of reasons.
Mm.
I think the first is political. I mean, opposition parties obviously must oppose everything that the ruling party does or try to anyway. So I think that's the first. I think secondly, remember the current health system benefits particular parties financially.
Yeah.
And those parties obviously, when there's going to be a change and they cannot see the same opportunities or benefits for themselves like they were able to extract in the current system, will obviously oppose the bill. And I think the third group of people just actually don't understand, and they're opposing the bill based on what they heard from somebody else, rather than actually reading the bill and appreciating it for themselves.
Absolutely. And then obviously we look into the good that comes with this NHI bill, Doc. There's something that we can really, as a nation, take home about it, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it provides access to quality healthcare services by making sure that everybody has equal access, and that access is to public and private healthcare facilities. So one doesn't need to go to a hospital in order to access services. You could go to your closest GP to do that. You could access your medicines from the closest pharmacy. If you have a problem with your teeth, you can go to the closest dentist, or your eyes, to the optometrist. So you don't have to go to a hospital or clinics and sit in long queues all the time for many of these things. These can be accessed quite simply, in an alternative way. People are not accessing it now because they can't afford it. So the fund is intended to deal with that.
Indeed. And now, when you look into, obviously, there's this concern about the financial model thereof. How would you allay fears to those that have concerns about the financial part of it, especially when you look into what the South African Private Practitioners Forum is saying, that this would cause irreparable harm to the country's entire healthcare industry? But obviously, I think they're speaking from their side, but how would you allay fears when it comes to those type of concerns?
Well, remember the South African Private Practitioners Forum, you know, as I indicated, those that were in the private sector or are in the private sector will obviously benefit from the current system. So the SAPPF will be a natural enemy to the NHI simply because it will equal the playing fields about how people access care and the way that they will be reimbursed for care, etc. So clearly they would be opposed to it, and they would come up with a range of reasons that they think are the reasons. I mean, for example, on the issue about the cost, let me say that the country currently spends 450 billion rand currently. So the NHI is not intended to spend more than what they currently can afford. So we're not going to add more taxes. We're just going to use the money that is currently available far more efficiently than what it is currently being used.
Indeed. So we really, really don't have to worry about anything with regards to this. It's just a matter of giving it much support as we can. Doc, thank you so much for your time. Loud and clear, and all the best, and take care.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
There you have it. That is Dr. Enben Pile is the Department of Health Deputy Director General. Just allaying fears with regards to the NHI bill, saying that, look, there will be no immediate taxes, saying that no new taxes obviously will be introduced in the short term and will only be introduced in the late stages of the scheme's rollout once it is up and running. So now, what's your view on the National Health Insurance bill? Let's hear from your side. You can give us a call, 011-000-1104. That's the number to dial, or you can reach us on our socials on Facebook. It's Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. On Twitter, we are at Marcus_Sahaba. Let's hear, what's your view on the NHI bill, the National Health Insurance bill? Tell us, what's your view? It's 12:26 p.m. Central African Time. We're taking a quick commercial ad break. Coming back after the ad break, of course, we are going to look into another story that is being making news headlines with Zandile's. We're taking analysis with Zandile Gumede's removal. Are tremors of change reverberating from the KZN ANC? We don't know. We take that particular the topic, and then that will be followed about a rep of Hajj. When do we know the first group of Hujaj? When are we expected to land in SA? We'll speak to the SAHOK General Secretary Muaz Kasu with regard to Hajj related news. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Falastum min ummati. Whose fatwa is this? This is not AK's fatwa or AK-47's fatwa. This is the fatwa direct from Imam Zainul Abideen. Falastum min ummati. You don't belong to this ummah.
Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha albirra wattaqwa ومن العمل ما ترضى. اللهم هون علينا سفرنا هذا واطو عنا بعده. اللهم أنت الصاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل.
Renovating, redecorating, then you must visit Capital Decor on 162 Brickfield Road, Overport. You'll be surprised at our super low prices. Bathroom, bedroom and dining room. Come see our decor range. Call us on 031-207-4946.
Book your December Umrah packages now and save. Call Malik Travel for packages from as little as 12,999 per person, all inclusive. Or our combo with Umrah and Turkey in 5-star hotels from 24,999 per person, all inclusive. Or let us excite your taste bud with Egypt and Turkey for just 14,999 per person, all inclusive. Call Malik Travel now on 031-207-8996.
Baker's DIY, your convenience hardware experience. We stock all kinds of hardware, building materials, power tools and decor. Call at any of our stores situated in Durban North, Briardine, Glenwood, Montclair and Malvern. Try us first, we'll beat any price.
There's a lot of reports about Houthis and then Saudi-backed allies that are taking part of this. Who is really behind this?
Here in Syria, the power brokers are the Assad regime to a lesser extent, the Russians to a larger extent, the Iranians to a larger extent also. These are the main power brokers which are waging this campaign of killing on the Syrian people.
Underground News is reporting this.
The News Hour with Alpha Sunqasi, only on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Marakas al-Sahaba.
at 12:30 exactly Central African time. This is the News Hour with myself, Alpha Sankos, and thank you so much. If you just tuned in, you're welcome to the show. Well, let's look into this story right now. With Zandile Gumede's removal, tremors of change reverberate from the KZN ANC as the African National Congress in KwaZulu-Natal. Well, that was yesterday, saying that the decision to fire Zandile Gumede from her position as eThekwini mayor would strengthen the party and not divide it, as some had suggested. Is this true? Is this how we view the story? Joining me on the line to help me unpack this as a political analyst is Professor Andre Duvenage. Prof, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Elfas.
Well, the ANC has moved to actually quash these suggestions that the eThekwini mayor's removal, Zandile Gumede, will strengthen the party instead of dividing it, as some had suggested. What's your take in this whole Zandile Gumede situation, Prof?
Well, to start with, Elfas, it's a bit of a catch-22. You need to take a decision, and it's always better to take the decision on the so-called moral high ground. That is what is happening. And I think it's a good decision. It's a win for President Ramaphosa in KZN, which I think is critical important. But to argue that this is not going to contribute to further divisions and polarization within the party, that I do not believe is the case, because the Zuma group and related groupings are very influential in that area. So yes, it's a catch-22, but for the moment, it is the better outcome, but I do not see the end of the internal conflict within KZN with regard to the ANC.
Well, some of the reasons the KZN Secretary General has said that the decision to ex the mayor was taken in favor of eThekwini residents. It's got nothing to do with her charges. How do you really sum up that, or how is that basically the main reason without putting her alleged charges on?
Well, I don't know what is the type of agreement that they reach behind the scenes, but I believe probably it will be something like this. You are going to lose your position, but you are not going to mobilize. You will stay a stable ANC cadre, and we will not charge you on all the accounts. I think there's most probably some sort of a trade-off behind the scenes. So I think that is what we are looking at the moment. But to argue that there's not going to be divisions within the structure, that I cannot see. I believe there will be divisions. And if there are not currently divisions there, it will develop relatively soon. So it's all about power and compromise and the benefits that you are getting from a situation. And in a way, it is unfortunate. In a way, the law should go its way. There should be an investigation. There should be a court case, and we should get a decision. But if we work with political compromises behind the scenes, it's a completely different scenario.
Absolutely. And then when you look into this whole situation, Prof, should we perhaps maybe should we ignore the fact that perhaps the ANC is, as the president has said, that look, they're going to clean up, but some of the cleanup campaign is to root those that seem to be supporters of former President Jacob Zuma?
Well, yes, I have no doubt that there is a strategy in place to clean up the whole situation. But the criticism against President Ramaphosa is that he is not doing enough soon enough. So there are huge criticism, but yes, it is a strategy. I am not always sure about his ability to execute such a strategy, because there are huge counters currently built in the process. We are looking at the Magashule group and the Zuma groups that are mobilizing in an active way against President Ramaphosa, with constantly either court cases or investigations or related cases against him. My take on the situation is it's becoming very dirty. It's a dirty political game, And I must tell you, I am concerned about the direction things are developing, specifically with regard to President Ramaphosa.
Obviously, well, there are some sort of evidence that the ANC, they're trying hard to start a renewal process. Still, the decision to remove Zandile Gumede as Etegwini mayor is bound to exact a heavy price, as KZN is likely to see more political turmoil in the near future.
Yes, I have no doubt that the scene is set for political instability. The moment you are going to touch on the positions of influential people there, you are going to see a reaction or a counter-reaction coming from their path. And I have no doubt that KZN is probably the province with the biggest potential for instability and the related impact in South Africa. So I am very concerned about the political dynamics playing itself out in KZN. And I think the removal of the mayor is definitely going to put some pressure. But I must re-emphasize, it was the right decision. Without such a decision, President Ramaphosa wouldn't have any legitimacy whatsoever.
And that, well, still looking into President Ramaphosa, well, he has called, well, some economic pundit and some, even himself, saying that, look, the situation, what's going on between the Public Protector's Office and the presidency, this kind of conduct really make foreign investors to have doubts about the country as South Africa. Well, it's something huge. This is huge. It's something that we cannot just overlook it, but obviously it's going to have dire consequences on the foreign investment terrain.
Yes, if we just look at some of the current figures about our economy, unemployment rate of about 29%, the bigger definition is closer to 37%. Mm-hmm. We are talking about the negative -3.3% growth rate, which is extremely dangerous. And we must ask the question, will people invest in South Africa? We are currently busy changing Article 25 of the Constitution. We basically have a tendency towards a failed state. We have high levels of corruption, endemic corruption, tending towards the context of state capture. If you take all these factors into consideration and you add to this the internal fight between the Public Protector and the Office of the President, I think it is serious. And I must tell you, the strategy, Alphas, I am picking up is that the Zuma Magashule group has a lot of information about President Ramaphosa, and they are making this information loose the way that can benefit their situation. The moment they see something stable, they release other information. So I think we are in for a tough time in terms of instability. My hope is only that President Ramaphosa, one way or another, can keep the moral high ground and he can execute the strategy that can turn us around. Because without that, we are in an environment of decay and political anarchy. And that is even worse than a scenario of civil war and other patterns of instability.
Well, last night, actually, he had an event. He was addressing the ANC Women's League. One of the points that I've picked up is that he stood up and assured South Africans that, look, all this shall pass. Watch the space. The economy will strengthen. The jobs will be available. But the question is that, where is that going to come from? Isn't it perhaps maybe that it was just a political statement?
Well, Elvas, where I am sitting here in Potchefstroom, watching the news, watching the dynamics, trying to make sense of what is going on, I must tell you, that picture I am not getting at the moment. Maybe the president has more detailed information, maybe he's better informed, maybe there's a lot of things we do not know at this point in time. But I must clearly tell you, I cannot see that picture. I cannot see that South Africa are going to end up in a growth cycle very soon. My take on it is, we are in for a longer term of really big socio-economic challenges. I can understand why President Ramaphosa is taking that line. Yeah. He needs to present something that can motivate people. But at this point in time, Alphas, I am not seeing this. I am very, very concerned about the next year in terms of the political, economic, and social conditions in the country.
Absolutely. Well, let's wait and see, Prof, how things will unfold. Nonetheless, it's just a waiting and see game. However, we all think that, look, Putin needs to be put into practical terms, unlike sending out media statements. Prof, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you, Alphas.
There is political analyst Professor André Duvenage joining us on the line, dissecting this whole situation of the Eteweni mayor Zandile Gumede as she's been released of her position. But now, well, the decision by ANC saying that to remove the executive leadership of its two biggest councils, Eteweni and Umsunduzi, could well mark a turning point in the party. There are evidence that elements in the ANC are trying too hard to start a renewal process. So they're very, very convinced that, look, this is going to unite the party more instead of dividing it, as people have suggested that firing of Zandile Gumede will divide the ANC. But, well, we'll see how that unfolds. It's 12:41 p.m. Central African time. We're taking a quick commercial ad break. Coming back after this, now we speak all everything Hutch after the ad break. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Dad, these Frimax chips are so tasty.
Wow, that really takes me back. My dad bought me a Frimax chips every day after school. They were my favorite when I was your age as well. Quality is at the very heart of what we do, and that's why we ensure that every Frimax packet is filled with the beautiful goodness and flavor-packed taste that you've come to expect from us since 1982. Frimax, from generation to generation.
Are you ready to live in luxury? Make your dreams come true? Find all the comforts of home and more at Castiles, KZN's very first superstore. An exquisite and modern product range in tiles, taps, and sandware. Indulge yourself by visiting our showroom at 1 Willowfield Crescent, Springfield Park, Durban. Contact us on 031-579-5555. Castiles, luxury at affordable prices.
Baker's DIY, your convenience hardware experience. We stock all kinds of hardware, building materials, power tools, and decor. Call at any of our stores situated in Durban North, Briardine, Glenwood, Montclair, and Malvern. Try us first, we'll beat any price.
Capital Air Conditioning, your one-stop air conditioning store for all your cooling and heating solutions. Call 031-208-5166. KZN's leading air conditioning company is chosen by the readers of the Daily News for the last two consecutive years. Let us keep you cool through summer. Call us now on 031-208-5166. For the latest news and what's happening around the world, tune in to News Hour on Merkez Sahaba Online.
I only take questions from people who haven't been named the Mampara of the Month.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
It's either he is so stupid.
Join Alphas Nkosi as he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the globe.
Yeah, it was very tough, you know, but I guess the main point of it is that now, inshallah, you know, we're like born again, you know.
We have fulfilled what God commands, and we are very glad.
From Saturday to Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., only on Merkez Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Merkez Sahaba.
At 12:43 p.m. Central African Time, if you just tuned in, welcome to the program. This is the News Hour with myself, Alphas Nkosi, right here on Merkez Sahaba Online Radio. The voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah coming to you live from our Johannesburg studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. It's a beautiful Wednesday indeed. But, for the past, from Friday, you've had that. We've been giving you a blow-by-blow reports, news, updates on Hajj as it happens. So now, let's look into just a wrap up of Hajj and look into when are we expecting the first batch of Hujjaj to be back home in South Africa. Joining me on the line is the Secretary General of SAHUG, it's Brother Muaz Kazu. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Brother.
Good afternoon, Elfis, and to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for taking our calls. We look into Hajj. Well, news report from Saudi Arabia, the Saudi press agency, they've reported that this was a very successful Hajj ever as well. So from Sahuk's standing point, how would you view this pilgrimage this year?
Look, from our side, yes, we must agree with the Saudi Arabian government that it has been a successful Hajj. I mean, barring some small minor incidents which took place in Mina during the 5 days of Hajj due to some space constraints. Nevertheless, we have given the pilgrims an opportunity to submit any compliments or complaints or recommendations to Sauk as of last night's press release. That the pilgrims that will be arriving from Saudi Arabia have until the 8th of September to send Sauk any complaints or any recommendations of going forward. Mm. We will, however, look and investigate Mina incident that took place on the first day due to some space constraints. But however, that we can only do once we get a full detailed report from the Ministry as well as the Sauk Commission.
Indeed, and one thing that is that I think some family members now can't wait to welcome back their loved ones. So when are we perhaps expecting the first flight to land in South Africa?
Okay, some of the pilgrims that have gone outside South Ambient have already arrived in South Africa this morning.
Okay,
but right. South African pilgrims that went via South will all be arriving from Friday morning onwards.
Indeed. So now, from the logistical point of view, how you've prepared a Sahuk, did all go according to plan?
Yes, I mean, from South perspective, we're very happy the way things have gone. Like I said, barring the small incident that took place in Mina on day one.
Yeah.
I mean, we must also recall that the medical mission team received an accolade for being the top six medical team from around the globe in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
I mean, logistically, everything went smooth. We had, like I said, minor issues. One can expect it during Hajj. I mean, obviously, with around 2.4 million pilgrims in Saudi Arabia, you're bound to find some small minor issues that come up from time to time. Mm-hmm. But from a South African Hajj perspective, everything has gone well. We will now wait for the pilgrims to return back home. And we've given them the opportunity to write to us if there is any grievances or any complaints. And from there, we can only sit and review how successful our mission team has been once we collate all the information.
And then one other thing that I think one sitting here might look into is that from now onwards up until next year's Hajj, so are perhaps maybe any plans already put in place just to for the betterment of the processes, not to have maybe some hiccups that might have been foreseen during this year?
Yes, I mean, that we'll do the moment we receive the mission feedback report. And then we also get some feedback from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, who was also part of the team in MENA. Once we get the two reports and we correlate the two information, then we will look at all our shortcomings, if there's any, and we will see how we can improve going forward for the next search.
Absolutely.
But at times it becomes so difficult, you can do all the planning in the world.
Yeah.
But some things are beyond your control. You've got to go with it, and we ask programs.
Yeah,
for any shortcomings from our side.
Absolutely, especially when you're dealing with people, with individuals, there's something has to just take an off from without any notice or something like that. But let's congratulate you guys and all the good work that you've done, and thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
No problem. Thank you very much for having us on the show. And to your listeners, we'd like to say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There you have it. Thank you so much. That is Brother Muaz Kasu, Secretary General at SAHUG, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, speaking to us there. Just a wrap-up of Hajj, looking into some of the successes and what were some of the challenges faced in terms of preparations, as you've heard it. Like once all the Hujjaj are back, they already hitting the ground running in preparations for next year. It's what, 12:49 p.m. Central African Time. This is the News Hour with myself, Alpha Sinkosi, right here on Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah. Well, now let's look into what the president have said yesterday, but there's been reactions from economists saying that government needs to outline concrete plans for South African economic recovery. A top economist saying that it would take a lot more than unity to turn the nation's economy around, as the comments followed President Cyril Ramaphosa's pleas to the national, to the African National Congress and the nation to present a unified front in order to avoid discouraging investors. So the local economy was struggling with stubbornly low growth rates and sky-high unemployment, of course, as you know, that the economy contracting by 3.2% and the unemployment rate increased to 29% in the second quarter of the year, the highest level since the first quarter of 2008, according to data released by Statistics South Africa. Now, political instability and confusion around key policies had also been blamed in part of the rand's poor performance. But despite the slew of bad news, the government was yet to outline concrete plans to deal with the issue. Now, chief economist at Pan-African Investment and Research, Iraj Abedin, says that was very worrying. See, 80% to 85% of the contributors to the vulnerability and share on the currency are domestic, meaning we have no growth plan for this economy, and nobody knows when and how this economy is going to regain its growth path. At the moment, we are literally stuck in at 0.5%, hovering around 0%. So, crisis mode, what do you think? But it's here. Something that really, it cannot be just a talk of the town, but we really, really need serious actions and plans to come up with this whole thing to recover our economy. Now, another story is that yesterday, I mean, the protest in Hong Kong that resulted in halting of the flights, and we had in South Africa as well, the South African Airways as well, they have halted some flights. But Hong Kong's airport authorities have obtained an interim injunction seeking to restrain protesters from unlawfully and willfully obstructing operations at the international airport. So the interdict comes after another day of disruptions and violent clashes between police and protesters. As you know, that yesterday the airport resumed operations and rescheduled disrupted flights. Now, back home, the South African Airways spokesperson Tladitlari saying that they have been notified there. There are South Africans stranded in Hong Kong. He first states that the airline is working on recovering its schedule and assisting passengers to as the protests were sparked by a bill that would allow the extradition of offenders to mainland China. Now, protesters have since escalated it into a call for greater democracy in that particular region. So as it is right now, we do have South Africans that are stranded in China. Hopefully things will be resolved on that path so that they can make their way home. Well, now what's happening on social media? Facebook now it has admitted it uses an external company to listen to audio messages sent between users in an attempt to improve its voice recognition system. Now, according to a report by Bloomberg, Facebook paid contractors to transcribe audio messages sent between users. Those contractors did not know who the audio was from and how Facebook obtained it. In a response to the report, the Facebook said that users who had their audio transcribed confirmed this option in its Messenger app and that the practice had since stopped. So much like Apple and Google, saying that they paused human review of audio more than a week ago. And however, Bloomberg noted that in its data use policy, there is no mention of human beings interacting with the audio. So the policy only mentions vendors and service providers who support their business by analyzing how their product are used. I'm sure that it's going to have serious scrutiny, especially the legal part of it, as in did they go the legal way to do this, is it really permissible? But it's a wait and see game as well. But well, fine, what's trending on Twitter? It's all breaking news trending. Why women don't what well, come on, that's just a whole lot of crazy things trending today. Why? What is? But let's rather look into what's trending in around in the Middle East. Kashmiri, Yemen, Hong Kong protest, Syria, and Ebola. That's your trends. And as it is right now, we await to hear the address or how the visit of the Prime Minister Imran Khan into Kashmir. How will it pan out, and what is it that is expected from that visit? Will it really try and bring things to standstill? Will it try to resolve this whole situation between the Kashmiri and India? We don't know. Well, that's all the time we have for today. You and I will do it again tomorrow, same time, same place. This is the News Hour with myself, Alpha Sinkos. Well, first, what we did on the show, we spoke to the South African Private Practitioners Forum, its CEO, Dr. Chris Archer, with regards to the NHI bill, saying that it's not being properly thought through. Their main concern is that this model would cause irreparable harm to the country's entire healthcare industry. And of course, we took another call from the Department of Health as well. The Deputy Director General from the Department of Health, Dr. Nben Pile, to come and allay fears, just to give us an explanation and understanding how this model is going to work and what are the benefits and how are the financiers in this NHI bill going to work. Well, he said that, look, especially when it comes to taxes, they're not going to apply taxes now, but up until it's being rolled out in the public. And then of course we took some analysis with regards to the Zandile Gumede's removal from her mayoral position by the ANC, KZN provincial bodies right there. And we really wrapped it up with the roundup of the Hutch successes and challenges thereof. That was your show today. From myself, have a lovely and a blessed day. Let's do it again tomorrow.
For the latest news and what's happening around the world, tune in to News Hour on Merkez Sahaba Online.
I only take questions from people who haven't been named the Mampara of the Month.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
It's either he is so stupid.
Join Alpha Sinkosi as he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the globe.
Yeah, it was very tough, you know, but I guess the main point of it is that now, inshallah, you know, we're like born again, you know.
We have fulfilled what God commands, and we are very glad.
From Saturday to Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., only on Merkez Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Baker's, your one-stop DIY store. We have lots of big sevens this week on combo sets from 70 Rand, swing chairs at 299, garden taps 40 Rand.